Colorado. My name is Brian. This is my incredible wife, Christina.
Hi.
You want to stand up? She is...
He wants me to show off the bum.
She's very pregnant. We're going to have a baby girl here in just less than 8 weeks. So that is crazy. It's been 5 long years since we've been to the Boston, New York, New Northeast retreat. If you know us from that retreat, that means you're a super senior or in grad school.
You got this.
You can do it. Some New York students got to see us a couple years back. I heard Jesse grew out a beard, so I didn't shave for a week. Just so I could be like Jesse. Looks like we all want to be a little bit like Jesse right now. But we bring you greetings from Denver, Colorado. We got about 75 college students here. And most of our schools have been shut down. Our major schools have been moved to all online. Just some of our private schools have been open. And it's been amazing how God's moved in the last month and a half. We've seen 7 people get baptized in the last month and a half from our small private schools. And then there's 3 more that are going to probably get baptized here in the next few days. There's a girl tomorrow and a couple guys on Tuesday. So God is moving powerfully. And if you're a small ministry, that doesn't count you out. We have a small ministry of 20 at the University of New Mexico. And guess what? They've seen 6 freshman guys get baptized this semester alone, because only freshmen are allowed on campus, and they've met a lot of open ones. So it's amazing. Like, God is open, and people are really looking for hope. God is bigger than politics. He's bigger than the injustices going on in our nation. He's bigger than COVID, bigger than online school. God truly is moving.
Yeah, I just wanted to step on real quick to say hi to everyone. We love you guys in the Northeast campuses, and we especially are grateful for our friendship with the Novaks and the Gomans. I hope you guys have a great online retreat and feel super connected, and I'm really grateful that Brian gets to share with you guys today some things that are really important and moving in our hearts in that. So.
Yeah, you guys have some of the best campus ministers in the world, and Novaks and the Gomans, but man, I love me some Ida. The Ghana Prince, Mervy, come on, man. We got Schnells on there. We got the Ruperts, many others. Mark, it's cool to see you guys. You guys have been incredible campus ministers throughout the year. It's really building that part of the country. But I've been asked to preach as if you were on the couch with me, which I'm not quite sure how to do that. But it's going to be great either way, because we're talking about connection. And tonight I want to share 4 secrets of how you connect with God in prayer. Prayer has been an intimate discipline of mine that I have been practicing for the last 14 and a half years, going out on prayer walks, pouring out my heart to God, to the one who knows everything about me and yet loves me the same. And prayer has saved my life. And prayer has kept me on the narrow road and has brought me through fire and has brought me through it all. And I am so grateful to get to share with you 4 secrets tonight of prayer, how to connect with God. The first secret is this: pray persistently. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 11, and we'll be reading from Luke largely tonight. But in Luke, Jesus gives us 2 parables that describe how we're supposed to pray persistently and how persistent prayers get God's attention and gets God to move. And what you notice about Luke is he oftentimes uses bad examples to teach good lessons. We're going to see this 3 times tonight as we look at some examples of prayer from the book of Luke here. But in Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 8 says this. He said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend that goes to him in the middle of the night and says, 'Friend, lend me some loaves of bread, because a friend of mine is going on a journey, has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' The one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The doors are already locked and my children are with me in bed. Go do Uber Eats from Matt Rubert. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you that though he'll not get up and give him the bread because he is your friend, yet because of this man's boldness, he'll get up and give him as much as he needs.'" Go over to Luke chapter 18. This is a second example of persistent prayers here in Luke that we see, and you'll see how these parables go together. Luke chapter 18, verse 1, it says, "Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up." Persistent prayers, the secret. He said, "In a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God or cared about men. And there was a widow in that town that kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice from my adversary.' For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care about men, Yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, and that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find such faith on earth? Persistent prayers is a secret. It's a secret of connecting to God and seeing God move. What we see from these two parables is that the friend in the house and the judge, they're connected. They're the ones with the power to grant the request. What we see from the man and from the widow is that they're in need, and they need something, and they're bold, and they're persistent in their asking, and they will not give up. The friend and the widow, they eventually wear down the friend in the house and the judge, and they finally heed to their requests and give them what they're asking for. What do we do with this? Does it seem like from these parables that we can change God's mind if we bug him enough, if we're persistent enough, if we're bold enough? Can we intimidate God? Can we put God on hostage by agitating him with so many prayers that he gives us what I want? You got to remember, Luke teaches good lessons from bad stories. See, God is nothing like the judge or the friend who's inside the house, other than he holds the power to grant our requests. He does want us to ask him. He does want us to plead and present our requests before him. He doesn't want us to give up. He wants us to be faithful. God does want us to pray like that, but he's not this God who doesn't care. He deeply cares about you. He's passionate about you. He wants to give you what you need in your life, unlike the friend or the judge. There's so many different examples throughout the Bible of persistent men and women praying, like Hannah in 1 Samuel, that God heard her years and years of prayers and moved. Or with Zechariah and his son John the Baptist, you get to see this time and time again that God loves persistent prayers. One of the best things that helps me when I think about God and wanting us to pray is that when we pray, it helps align us to God's will. One of the best examples I've heard about prayer is that we're in a boat and we're trying to make it to shore. God's the shore. We're the boat out on water. And as you get close to the shore, typically there's some buoys and rope that helps pull a boat into the shore. Each time we pray, it's like grabbing a hold of that rope. In each prayer that we pray, we pull in a little bit more rope and we get closer and closer to shore. That's largely how prayer works. It's not pulling the shore closer to us. It's the shore pulling us closer to God. It's amazing here. So every time you pray, you're aligning yourself more and more to God's will. Every time you pray, you're getting closer to where God wants you to be. Every time that you pray, you're getting more and more connected to God. And the more you pray, not give up, the more aligned to God's will you'll be. It's important that persistent prayers don't put God on hostage. That because I prayed so many times, or I'm begging you, or I'm bugging you, that you're going to give me what I want, how I want it, doesn't necessarily change his mind. It doesn't necessarily affect or change people's free will. Well, geez, Brian, then why are you telling me to pray persistently? Why is this a secret? Because when you pray persistently, it increases God working in your life, working in the situation, and working in those that you're praying for. You know, one of the best examples I can think about this is my wife got severely sick 3.5 years ago when we were on a mission team trip to Bangkok, Thailand. She nearly died in the beginning part of that trip to a severe allergic reaction. And from that day, it had serious repercussions on her life with different parasites and different diseases that she had to overcome. And man, we spent years and thousands of dollars of trying to get medical treatment. And sadly, most of the medical treatment that we tried made her feel worse. And over the last 3.5 years, I have gone out day after day in tears, just begging God to move, to heal her, to help me help her, to give her the strength that she needs, the emotional fortitude that she needs, to give us friends to support us, to give relief to her pain. I mean, so many days in the last 3.5 years, she'd been bedridden, severe migraines, extreme pain, fatigue, suffering. And I'd be out there in tears day after day, day and night, praying and begging God to move, to intercede, to help, to give us the strength that we needed. You know what's crazy is over those 3.5 years, God didn't exactly answer my prayer. Things did not get better for years. But God was still moving. See, as I was praying to be there for Christina and support Christina and to help Christina and for Christina to have the strength, we fell more in love with each other. My wife and I have fallen more in love in the last 3.5 years than our previous 5 years of being married. God gave me so much more than what I was praying for. He didn't answer the prayers that I begged for, but he showed me that his grace was sufficient. He showed me that his power is truly made perfect in my weakness. He showed me that he's bigger than my physical abilities or what I can do in a day or what Christina can accomplish in a day. God is so much bigger than that. See, he didn't answer my prayers directly of healing my wife, but he moved in so many different ways. He moved in our ministry. Our ministry grew significantly in those 3.5 years. Not because we were so great, but because God was moving so powerfully in answering prayers. Now, I'm grateful for the last 10 months of my wife making some significant progress in her health. But for 3 years, it was pretty grim and pretty daunting. Do I wish that I could take back a single prayer? No way. Do I think I wasted time and tears begging God to heal my wife? No. Did I get what I wanted? I didn't. But I got so much more than I could have asked for or imagined through those days and nights of persistent prayers for God to heal and move in my wife's life. See, persistent prayers isn't about getting what you want when you want. It's about God pulling you closer and closer to his shore and helping you get aligned to his will and to his strength and to his might and to his power. That truly is the thing that changes and impacts your life. Like many of you, I've been praying for my family every single day for them to become Christians for over the last 14.5 years. Not one of them have been baptized yet, but you know what? They are so much closer now than they were 14 years ago. And I can see God intervening, God working, God moving in my life, their life. Persistent prayers pay off. They work. It's a secret, but you got to be bold. You got to be courageous. You got to be persistent and not give up. Will Jesus find such faith in your prayers tomorrow or in my prayers? Because this is the faith and persistence he is looking for. The second secret to prayer is this. You pray according to God's goodness. You pray according to God's goodness. It's so important for us to remember that when we're praying to God, that he's a good gift giver, that he's a God who wants to do good in your life. And if you don't believe that when you're praying, you're going to have a hard time truly connecting to God. Luke chapter 11, verses 9 through 13, if we continue on from what Jesus was talking about in prayer, we get to see that God truly is good in his goodness and that he wants us to pray according to that goodness. It says in Luke chapter 11, verse 9, I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and him who knocks, the door will be open. Which of your fathers, if your son asks him for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? See, God wants us to ask him. He wants us to knock on that door. He wants us to seek him and find him in prayer. He's not like the bad father that when you ask for a loaf of bread, he's going to give you a snake. See, even bad fathers know how to give good gifts to their children. How much more does our perfect heavenly father who loves you, who died for you, wants to give good gifts in your life and be good to you in your life? God wants us to pray to him in all his goodness. But have you ever thought about, well, if God's such a good gift giver, why don't I always get what I ask for? Well, the same reason why Jesse doesn't always give Rosie candy when she asks. Because, see, a father knows what their child needs and gives them according to their needs and not always to their wants. See, God has the ability to know what's truly best for you. He can see your past, your present, and your future and know exactly what you need. His knowledge and power is far greater and wiser than your feelings and your desires. And he gives good gifts according to what you need. Do you know how many sisters I prayed for that would like me over the years? And yet, after 6 years of praying, God finally brought the right woman into my life, into Christina. And I'm so grateful that God brought Christina into my life. And I'm grateful for the 6 years of lessons. Man, there's so many countless encouragement dates I went on and sisters that helped me to grow in my respect and my kindness and my gentleness and my selflessness. And so many interests that I learned how to build and so many friendships that were built that got me ready for Christina. But God knew that Christina wasn't coming along until 6 years. And it doesn't mean that he's a bad gift giver. He gave me the best gift I could ever ask for. It just took a little while for me to get it. God had the wisdom and foresight to see what was best. You know how many times I've prayed God to bail me out of messes I've created? But God didn't bail me out because he wanted me to learn a lesson. And sometimes fathers need to let their children learn lessons, even if it's hard for them or hurts them. There's so many things I prayed for that I wasn't ready for. There's so many things that if God would have given me, I couldn't have handled or been a good steward of. And he was a good father and didn't give it to me because he knew that it wouldn't have been good for my life or that timing. Now, as I shared in the last point, Christina had been severely sick for over 3 years. And about the time she got sick was the time that we were going to start trying for children. It was a hard 3 years of treatment and putting off things that we really desired of wanting to start our family. And after lots of treatment and a lot of time that went by, we got the green light earlier this year to start trying for children. And I remember it was a Wednesday morning, Christina took a pregnancy test and showed me, the stick that said positive, that she was pregnant. And I remember that the tears that flooded my eyes and the shouts for joy in our bathroom as we embraced each other and hugged and just cried and just shaking for years of waiting for this moment. And over the next 3 days, our greatest joy turned to extreme sorrow as she began to have a miscarriage. I had not known such joy. And over the next week and a half, would I know such sorrow as Christina lost the baby. And my world was torn apart over that time. Did God play some type of sick joke on me? Was God deceiving me? Did God want to give me a moment of joy and just take it away? I don't think so. I don't think so. You know, God never said that things wouldn't happen. Accidents wouldn't happen. Life wouldn't happen. People wouldn't sin against you. People wouldn't hurt you. Circumstances beyond your control wouldn't happen. Just because some devastating things happen in your life doesn't take away the fact that God's a good gift giver. And as you can see, God let Christina's body rebound and we were able to get pregnant again. And here we are expecting our daughter. I don't know anything about that first child or what that would have been like. I don't. But I knew that regardless if Christina would get pregnant again or how long it would be, I couldn't change the fact in my heart that God was a good gift giver. And whether it was never happened or would happen in the future, I had to trust that his goodness still remained and he still wanted good things for my life. Romans 8:28 says this, "We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." See, what I've realized and what I hope you can realize is that in all things, the good, the bad, the joy, the sorrow, the loneliness, the plenty, God is at work in your life to do good. Then in all things in your life, God is constantly making a way to do good and to bring good to your life because you love him and you're his child. He never said that people wouldn't hurt you. He never said bad things wouldn't happen. He never said accidents wouldn't happen, coincidences wouldn't happen. But in all those things, God still works good. And it makes him an incredible gift giver. Because in all things, he's at work to do good in your life. I'm sure you've been through difficult things in your life. Most of you have been on this earth for 18 to 22 years. Bad things have happened to you. Hard things, unexplainable things have happened to you. But it doesn't mean that God's not a good gift giver. And it doesn't mean that he doesn't want to do good in your life and work good. Guys, trust me, as someone who's been through a lot, God is always working good in your life. And it doesn't change the fact that he's a good gift giver. The third secret is this. Pray with humility. Pray with humility. Humility is what connects God and our hearts to him in prayer. On the flip side, pride is repulsive to him. And God is always far away from a prideful person. Humility brings us close to God, and he hears the prayers of the humble. But the prayers of the prideful, he opposes. It says in Luke chapter 18, if you want to turn there with me, Luke chapter 18, we're going to read about the Pharisee and the tax collector and the difference between pride and humility in prayer. Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14 says, "To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. 'God, I thank you I'm not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get.' But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his chest and said, 'God, have mercy on me, a sinner.' I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." Once again, Luke is using bad examples to teach a good lesson. He says that Jesus is addressing those who are confident in their own righteousness and look down on everybody else. I got news for you. None of us go a single day without looking down on somebody else or being self-righteous. I can't go a day without comparing myself, judging, or being critical of those around me. There's two characters that show up in this parable, the Pharisee and the tax collector. The Pharisee starts off his prayer by comparing himself to others. "God, thank you I'm not like that brother in my Bible talk. Thank you I'm not like that sister that's always complaining. Thank you that I'm not like my friends in the world. Thank you that I'm not like my family. Thank you I'm not like blank." We've all said prayers and thought those thoughts. He was self-righteous and he lost sight of who he was before God. See, before God, he was an utter pitiful wretch. Yet, he compared himself to the sinful world around him and felt good about himself. When instead, he should have looked at God and who God is and the perfect Messiah and realized how much he needs God's grace and how much he needs God's mercy. But instead, he thought he had earned and deserved God's attention and for God to bless his life. The tax collector, on the other hand, compared himself to God and had a right perspective of himself. He could not even look up to heaven. He couldn't even look. He knew he was unworthy. He knew he couldn't do enough good to earn God's goodness or his forgiveness or his power in his life. He beat his chest and acknowledged, "I'm a sinner. Like, I fall short. I'm not perfect. I'm not who I want to be, who you want me to be. And I desperately need your mercy. I desperately need your help. I desperately need your power in my life." See, he had a proper understanding of who he was before God and his prayer. And God heard him. See, if we exalt ourselves in prayer, God will not listen to you. But if you humble yourself in prayer, God will exalt you. Listen to this in Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 8, Jesus gives us some other insight into humility and prayer. It says, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, but I think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. See, prayer isn't meant for others to hear. It's meant for you and for God. It's not something that can be fake or fabricated. It's not something that can be created to be performed in front of other people or others publicly. It's not something showy. It's not something that when you do it, people think, wow, he's a good prayer. See, our prayers are not heard by our many words that we don't plan on acting upon, but they sound cool to say out loud. Our prayers aren't answered because we said something special, but don't actually plan on living by what we said. Prayer is private. Prayer is sincere. Prayer is vulnerable. It's something that we do to connect with God, who is unseen. It's not for men who are seen. Jesus did pray privately, and he prayed publicly. He prayed when he walked, when he was in a boat, when he was all by himself, early in the morning, late at night. He prayed with his friends. He prayed in front of his enemies. He prayed because it is all about connecting with God. Now, I will say, this is not a straight up command that whenever you pray, you need to go into a room and lock the door and pray. What Jesus is trying to say is it's not for man to see. It's for your heart to connect to God's heart. It's for God to connect to you, to move in you, mold you, shape you, pull you closer to his will in your life. See, it's the thousands of hours I've spent praying on walks for God's kingdom and for God to build my campus ministry that took it from just a handful of students to over 100 students. See, it's the hundreds and thousands of hours I prayed for repentance in my life with purity, with patience, with humility, that God has grown and changed and shaped my heart. Prayer has given me patience and repentance. No one else has heard these prayers. No one else has seen these tears. No one else has heard these groans or heard these screams but the worn out tennis shoes on my feet. No one else has heard my fear, my sin, my inmost being, but God in prayer. Prayer is one of the most humbling things we can do every day to submit our will, our ways, our plans to God. Because we're asking him to move in ways that we cannot. We're asking him to help him and help us in ways that we are limited. We're asking him to give life to the lifeless. We're asking him to change the things that we cannot change, to share our dreams, to share our fears, to share our shortcomings, and to beg him to move and to use us in spite of our weaknesses and our shortcomings. Prayer is one of the most humbling things you can do sincerely every day to connect with God. I mean, just this morning I was praying, just begging God to help me with major choices that are before me, to help me with this day, to help me with tonight, just humbly asking him to move. There's really no room for pride in our prayers, but only humility. All right, the fourth one, I may be going a little bit long, but you're on my couch, remember? We're hanging out on my couch. So here's the fourth secret to prayer, the Holy Spirit. Yeah, that thing that you got when you got baptized, the peace of God that's inside of you, the Holy Spirit is designed and meant to help you in prayer. I thank God that he's given us the Holy Spirit for so many different reasons, to guide me, to teach me, to convict me, to direct me, to lead me, to use me, to bear fruit in me. It's the seal of my salvation. It's the deposit of eternal life when I get to see Jesus face to face. And yet it also helps me in prayer. I left this secret to last because if you mess up the previous three secrets, this secret still helps you and still works out. God knows that prayer is an ongoing discipline. Do you remember your prayers that you said as a young Christian? Like, I was still praying for like my body to look good. I don't think God cares about my calf muscles or cares about rugby that I was playing or cared about how many fish I caught. mean, that was like the most substantial prayers I was saying as a young Christian. God knows that like prayer is an ongoing discipline, that the more we pray, the more intimate we can get with God, the closer and closer we become to him and aligned to his will. It's a skill, it's an intimacy that gets built and developed day after day of praying and connecting with him. He knows that we're flawed. He knows that we're fallen. He knows that we're not able to follow all that he's taught us. So he gives us the Holy Spirit to help us, and particularly to help us with prayer. You want a good passage to memorize, and if this was any password I had 8 years ago, you could have busted into Romans 8, verses 26 through 27. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 27 says this: "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God." When we are weak, speechless, rambling, off course, praying about our wants and not our needs, when we're anxious, when we're fearful, when we can't even search our own hearts, or when our hearts are hardened by sin, the Holy Spirit helps you, knows you, intercedes on your behalf to help you connect to God. Isn't that incredible? There's so many times I've gone out praying and I can't find the words to say. And everything I say doesn't even make sense, or my sinful heart is just too broken to even be poured out. It's those moments that the Holy Spirit intercedes for me and helps me and guides me to connect to God. There's times I've gone out praying for things that are not God's will. You know how many times I prayed for a sister to like me, or this mission team that was going out that I thought I was going to go on, or times a brother bothered me so much I just wanted to punch him in the face? I'm grateful for the Holy Spirit to help me in prayer. I remember those times praying for a sister like me, and the Holy Spirit's like, "God, you know this girl is not for him. She's great. She's for this bro over here. But God, give him patience. That's what he actually really needs." Or the times I prayed to go out on different mission teams, God was like, "I'm glad he has ambition." The Holy Spirit's like, "I'm glad he has ambition, but you know he's supposed to stay in Denver and build up the Denver campus ministry. Take this desire away." Or the times I prayed when I was so mad at someone, I just wanted to be ungodly. The Holy Spirit's like, "He really loves this brother, actually. Give him patience, give him love, and help him to show grace." Like, the Holy Spirit hears what we're saying and says, "Time out, God. That's not what he really needs or what he really wants. This is what he needs." And it intercedes. It's like that referee that helps us to get on course. I'm so grateful for the Holy Spirit that's helped me over the years. There's been so many times I've gone out praying that are just so routine, that I've merely said the words instead of true devotion. And the Holy Spirit interceded and has helped me. There's so many times I've been so mad, so sad, so anxious, so ashamed, lonely, that I've gone out praying in just the first 10 minutes, I have no words to say. There's too many thoughts, too much anxiety building that I don't even know what to say. And yet the Holy Spirit groans and wordless groans to God on my behalf, that when I don't know what to say, the Holy Spirit does and says it to God and lets God know truly what I need and truly the help that I need. It helps me in my weakness. The Holy Spirit understands me. This is a large daily function of the Holy Spirit, is to help us in prayer. Can I give you guys a freebie? It's a retreat. You guys didn't pay for this, but I'm going to give you some gold. Okay. As a young person, all right, I'm a young person too. I'm 33. I think it's really hard for us to figure out what God's will is for our lives. Now, if you've been a Christian for any time, you've probably had something that you've really wanted, and you've prayed about it, and you prayed so much about it because you really wanted it, that no matter how much you prayed, your decision did not change because it's what you wanted. Guys, prayer is super important to figure out God's will, but it's not the only way to find out God's will. And matter of fact, if all you do is pray, you probably won't find out God's will. Can I help you guys out? Okay, if you want to find out God's will for your life or a major decision in your life, firstly, you do want to pray. But you got to pray with submission. you got to pray and submit yourself to God's will. I remember the day I told my discipler that I wanted to get engaged to Christina and get married. And he challenged me. This was like in November. He says, Brian, if you truly want to marry Christina, I want you to pray every single day and mean it, that if she's not the woman for you, and if you aren't the man for her, that God would end your relationship. I prayed that from the end of November all the way up to our wedding day of May 19. And I remember the morning of my wedding, praying in tears, begging God that if this was not his will, that he would call off the wedding, that he would end the wedding, that it would not happen today. If I was not the man to get her to heaven, or she was the woman to get me to heaven, like that he would end it. That type of submission and prayer, God will answer. That's just one key. The second key is God's words. Okay, it's one thing to pray. Now you have to figure out, what does God's word say about the subject matter? If it's a job or a school or a financial decision, you know, the Bible is infinite in its knowledge. It can help you. It's alive and active. If you read God's word and study out, if you have other people sharing scriptures on that subject, you can figure out from God's word, does this line up to his will? So you pray in submission, you look into his words and see if it aligns to his will. And the third one is this: you find godly spiritual men or women that fear God and fear and respect his word, and that pray a lot, and you get their advice and input on this subject in your life. I find that if I pray in submission, search God's words, and ask spiritual people he's placed in my life, if all three of those coincide, okay, I can move forward with it. If one of those things don't line up, I got to start over. I got to figure out what God is trying to say. Guys, as a campus minister, I can't tell you how many times college students have made major decisions that have wrecked their lives because they prayed about it and they felt like God answered their prayer. Or they prayed about it and they felt like God was guiding and directing them in this way. What I find is that God, it is important to pray, but prayer is not the only way, nor is it the complete way to figure out God's will for your life. Please, I beg you, I'm not your campus minister, so I can say this. Please don't go up to your campus minister and say, I'm making this major life decision because I prayed about it. Guys, there's so much more that goes into a major life decision than just prayer, although prayer is very important. I hope you get that. If you're confused at all, talk to your campus minister. They will help you out. But guys, it's been an honor to be with you. I hope these four secrets of prayer really help you connect with God, and that whatever this COVID season brings, whoever gets elected president, whatever happening in our nation, prayer will always connect you to God and help you to trump whatever is going on in your life. It's been an honor to be with you tonight. Thank you.
Woohoo! Yeah! Yeah!
Whoa!
Great job.